You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nine. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse!
Just a reminder, everybody. Just a reminder that after a night like last night, we do have him. We've got him coming back. Good morning, kind of. Caps lose, Nats lose. They haven't won in a while. And the Wizards went full on Wizards last night, getting the worst possible outcome in the NBA draft lottery. Sixth. They're not going to pick first. They're so far away from Cooper Flagg that they may end up with a queen, which would be nice too. Bob Carrington was there for the team last night in Chicago for the drawing. He's actually responsible for a spot worse in the draft. I know many of you weren't following this, but in the season finale, he made a buzzer beater to beat Miami, which made it so that the Wizards had the second worst record in the NBA, not the worst record, which meant their worst case was sixth instead of fifth. Thanks, Bub. I actually like Bub. I thought he was a really good player this year. Derek Queen, maybe, at six. For you Terp fans like me. For Danny in Rockville, Danny in Rockville was relentless when I suggested in January that Derek Queen was a lottery pick. And at the time, he may have been in some mock late first rounders, late first round, mock drafts. And I said, no chance. There's no way he's escaping the lottery. In fact, he'll probably be a top 10 pick. And actually, a lot of the mocks after last night have Derek Queen somewhere in that top six range. So maybe the baby Terp ends up staying home and playing with Bub Carrington, also a Baltimore guy. And I think somebody told me that they are friends. What a disastrous night. Look, I know it doesn't guarantee anything, but what I suggested yesterday I think is true, is that while Cooper Flagg or even a Dylan Harper, there's no guarantee of anything in the NBA, the bottom line is it would have changed the current relevancy status for the Wizards organization. They are, and I hate to say this because they are a favorite team of mine and have been throughout my life. I'm a born and raised Washingtonian, as many of you know, and the Bullets/Wizards have been one of my passions of many, many years. I am old enough to remember 78 and 79 and Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld and Bobby Dandridge and Phil Chenier, and certainly got into some of the teams, along the way here in this century, Gilbert, Karan teams, Antoine teams. Much more so, I had a stronger feel for the Beal, Wall, Gortat, Nene, Trevor Ariza team. I thought those teams actually weren't championship contenders, but had a chance to participate deep, deep into the postseason and nearly did a couple of times. They were a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. 8 years ago, by the way. 8 years ago last night. 8 years ago last night was John Wall's game six shot. I was there that night when he jumped up on the scorer's table and said, "My town." And they went to game seven in Boston and lost a competitive game. Beal was phenomenal in that game. And, you know, they had a chance a couple of years earlier against Atlanta, but John broke his hand and missed the rest of that series. But they've been an irrelevant franchise for so long. And what Cooper Flagg would have guaranteed, at least for a period of time, call it a year or two, it would have guaranteed the Wizards would have been in the conversation about NBA basketball. They're not. No one even brings them up in the course of an NBA conversation. They are a truly irrelevant franchise. Now, one of the reasons is because of what they're doing, and I'm all for it. I'm totally for the process that they're going through. It would just be nice if along the way, a couple of the ping pong balls went their way, because they need that. No guarantee Cooper Flagg's going to be the answer at number one. He's a very, very highly thought of prospect. Not Victor Wembanyama, as we talked about yesterday. Probably not even Zion Williamson. But as good as any other than those two in recent years. But the nature of Cooper Flagg, okay, being A, Dookie, B, really good, C, the first American-born white player to go number one overall in 50 years, would have made the team the focus of a lot of league conversation. Certainly to monitor the growth of Cooper Flagg and his career. But anyway, we know from the NBA, witness Jokic, Giannis, Kawhi, the lists go on and on. The Golden State Warriors didn't build their dynasty with number one overall. You've got to be really good at evaluating talent, and you got to find that next Jokic, that next Giannis, that next Steph. You got to find those players beyond number one, and that's the job of the Wizards' new, or now not so new, front office. I'm all for the process. It would have been fun had they gotten number one overall. But the conspiracy theorists and the it's rigged stuff, you're just not going to get me to do that. I don't mind it. It doesn't annoy me when people scream that. I think most adults understand that if that actually did happen, people would go to jail. That's what would happen if this was actually rigged. But I will suggest something coming up here in this opening segment that I do think is unfair about the process. We'll get to that momentarily. Max is with me. Right now, we've got a potential guest or two, but nobody confirmed for the show. So it may just be us today. And there is a lot of breaking legitimate official NFL schedule news. We now know, all of the international games. We now know Washington's Week 16 opponent. We now know Washington's Week 11 opponent for sure. We're not talking about leaks. We're not talking about, you know, is it true, isn't it? This is from the league and the league's network partners. Washington will play in Madrid on Sunday, November 16th, week 11 of the NFL season against the Miami Dolphins. First international game for Washington since 2016. They were in London against the Bengals, a season that ultimately came down to a couple of plays in terms of the playoffs, and one of them was a Dustin Hopkins chunked field goal from 30 yards out in overtime that would have won the game. Instead, Washington tied it, and that along with a couple of other missed kicks that he had, and a Kirk Cousins interception in the season finale, cost them back-to-back playoff opportunities for the first time in 27 years. Now, they have a chance to do that again this year, and that's why I came into this show with something positive. Jaden Daniels. We still have him. Washington's two games now we know are official. Number one is week 11 against the Dolphins in Madrid. And Fox announced week 16, December 20th, against Philadelphia at home. Now, for me, in terms of the mock, I got Madrid right, and I had it before any of the leaks, okay? Going back to last week when this was finalized. And I had Philadelphia in week 16 correct. I had it at Philly, not at home, and I had it on Sunday, December 21st, and this game's going to be played on Saturday, December 20th. Now, no official time for that game because Packers-Bears was the other announced Fox game on Saturday, December 20th. Two things about the announcement of a week 16 doubleheader on Fox, that being Philly, Washington, and Green Bay, and Chicago. I think Green Bay, Chicago is on Fox. Washington, Philadelphia will be on Fox. Two things about that. Number one, the NFL last year, when they went up against opening round college football playoff games, the triple header last year, remember, college football's first weekend with 12 means the top four get byes, and then it's 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10, and 8 versus 9 in the first round with home sites. We got that last year. You get the first game on a Friday night and a triple header on Saturday. The NFL went head-to-head with college football's triple header, and they said it was out of necessity and that they didn't want to do it and they would try to avoid it in the future. That was their statement last year. And the reason they had to do it is because they got the Netflix money for Christmas Day on a Wednesday, and they couldn't play the teams that were going to play on Christmas Day on Sunday and then have them play on Wednesday. So they had to play those teams on Saturday. So it was Houston, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, KC, and then they mixed them up and played them, the same four teams in different matchups on Christmas Day. But they played them head-to-head with the college football triple header. And the NFL did make a statement saying this is not our intention on a regular basis. You know, the NFL and college football have had a great relationship over the years when it comes to things like this. Now the NFL has moved in on Black Friday, and they are going to once again go head-to-head with college football's first round, a triple header on Saturday. As a college football fan and a massive college football fan, I think this is a bad move by the NFL. Now, the NFL will outrate the college football games. They did last year. You know, not by a lot, but they did outrate the college football games. But that college football first round last year with games in Happy Valley and in Columbus, and that was spectacular. And I didn't think the NFL would do it, but they're doing it, and they're basically saying to college football now, yeah, we love you. And we appreciate the nice, not only feeder system, but the exposure that the players get playing big-time college football and sort of the name brand recognition they have coming into our league. But we're still going to play our games when we want to play our games. And Washington, Philadelphia will be on that weekend. Now, I thought that one of the Washington, Philadelphia games would get saved for that weekend, and it would not end up being week 18, because week 18 is a little bit dicey when you try to schedule the big time division matchup in week 18, because a lot of times you get to week 18, we know this, and the game is meaningful for one team, maybe not so much for the other. They've clinched something, they may rest, you know, starters, etc. So they try to play those big heavyweight division matchups. Sometimes you can't avoid it, and sometimes you schedule it and you're thinking, you know, let's just say Washington plays the Giants this year in the final weekend of the season. They may think, the Giants aren't going to be any good, but they might be. Who knows? But that Philadelphia-Washington second game was going to be either week 16 or week 17. Now, the other thing about the two games that we know of for Washington now, for sure, the Miami game and the December 20th game. The December 20th game, in the four teams that are playing, I'm wondering if they're going to do the same thing they did last year. which is the four teams playing on December 20th will end up playing on Christmas Day. Now, last year they had to do it because Christmas Day was on a Wednesday. You can't play Sunday and then go to Wednesday. The NFL goes Sunday to Thursday all the time, and Christmas Day this upcoming year is on Thursday. But is it possible that Washington, Philadelphia, Chicago, and Green Bay will all be involved in Christmas Day games? Now, I've seen Chiefs-Broncos mentioned as potentially one Christmas Day game. I don't think I've seen that officially from the league, though.
I think Prime officially put it out there last night.
Did Prime put that one out officially?
I believe so. I remember seeing the tweet last night.
Okay. If that's true, it is a triple header on Christmas Day. So there are two other games. And if that's the primetime game, I'm wondering if maybe it's Washington-Chicago or Washington-Green Bay. I actually mocked Washington to Green Bay on Christmas Day. And because Green Bay is playing at Chicago and Washington is hosting, it would make sense that on Christmas Day, Green Bay's hosting, Washington's traveling. So that would be one of my all-time gets if I get Washington at Green Bay Christmas Day. Now, does Madrid mean no Thanksgiving? I felt like it meant that it was either or. I didn't say it was a definite, but we had Mike North from the schedule-making team on the show in mid-April, and he definitely implied that Madrid and Thanksgiving may be an either-or situation, that if they get Madrid, they may not get Thanksgiving, but they would get they might get Christmas Day. That's what I mocked out, Madrid and Christmas Day versus Thanksgiving Day, and neither Madrid or Christmas Day. But there's still a chance they get Madrid, they come back, and there's a bye week, and they go to Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. That is possible. But I don't think it's likely. I think we've got a Madrid and a Christmas Day game against Green Bay or Chicago, and because Green Bay Green Bay's traveling week 16 and Washington's hosting, it wouldn't shock me if it's Washington at Green Bay on Christmas Day. And that would be an afternoon game. It would not be prime time. So there you go. Still don't know the opener. Still don't know anything else definitively, other than they're not playing Dallas, Kansas City, the Chargers, or Philadelphia on opening day. All of the international games are now set, with the exception of the league has not officially announced Chargers Chiefs for Brazil, but people think that that is coming. But how about the Vikings have to play two international games, but they're both road games. So you're talking about Minnesota has two of their scheduled road games in neutral site environments, in Dublin against Pittsburgh and in London against the Browns in back-to-back weeks. I think that's the first time that's happened for anybody other than Jacksonville. And then we did have a Monday night football game released November 10th, Packers-Eagles at Green Bay, it looks like. So there you go. That's what we've got NFL schedule-wise officially. And you're telling me you think that the Chiefs and Broncos on Christmas night is official? I didn't see that officially from the league's website.
I saw Schefter put it out. So that's
okay.
That's my
source.
Well,
then I'll take that. I'll take Schefter. And then does that mean that Philadelphia, Chicago, and Black Friday was a Schefter tweet too?
I believe that sounds right. I want to double-check and make sure, but I believe you are correct.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I am thinking that the Fox doubleheader on Saturday, December 20th, which is official, because the because Washington's at home and Green Bay is on the road, there's a really good chance it's Washington at Green Bay on Christmas Day.
Since the Bears and Eagles are already playing each other, and if they did the same thing where they swapped, like the...
Oh, good point. So Bears and Eagles have already played on Black Friday. If that's true, then the Eagles would have to play the Packers if those four teams are being, you know, put on Christmas Day. There's no guarantee that those four teams, you know, the they did it last year because of the turnaround, because right. you couldn't go Sunday to Wednesday, but you can go Sunday to Thursday. You know, I thought maybe the four teams, but that's the excellent point. So Eagles Bears on Black Friday, if that is indeed official,
it is.
Means that it couldn't be Eagles Bears on Christmas Day, which means there'd be a better chance it would be Washington Chicago if it comes from the list of these four teams. You know, this group of four.
I said it on Christmas Twitter. Day. A Hail Mary rematch on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
A little on the nose for Roger Goodell in the NFL, but
that would hit.
I'd like it.
Full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou. All right. That's all we know officially, I think, now. You know, that in addition to yesterday's Dallas-Philly opening night announcement. Yes, I did tweet my mock schedule out because I wanted to tweet it out after we had done it on the air. And, of course, I realize that Washington at Dallas for my season opener is incorrect. And I don't expect that all of you would know that, so I'm not knocking you. But I tweeted out my schedule, which included at Dallas on Sunday Night Football, and a lot of the responses were, hey, dope, they can't play Dallas on opening week. Dallas is playing Philadelphia. Yes, I am aware of that, but I didn't change my mock from last week. I left it as is, because that's the point, is to see how many I actually are even close to getting right. And Madrid and Philly on the right weekend, it's pretty good so far. I'll take it. All right. So on this draft lottery last night, I don't know if everybody's familiar with how this thing works. Like, this thing is audited. This thing is monitored. Look, what they did in 1985 and Patrick and Stern and the Knicks, I don't know. Maybe there was some shenanigans in that one. This, just so everybody understands, literally, if they did intentionally rig it, the people involved would go to jail for committing fraud at a high level, because this is a big, big business. I do understand the odds. I understand what it means for the Mavericks with a 1.8% chance to get number one overall, especially after they traded Luka to the Lakers. I get it. And it reeks. It does. But it's not rigged, people. It's not actually rigged. Now, here's where I think there is an absolute argument to be made. When you look at the results, and by the way, you know, for those that didn't know this, the Wizards going into this had a 47, near 48% chance, okay, so nearly a coin flip, of being in the fifth or sixth spot. The chances that they would get number one were 14%, so there was an 86% chance they wouldn't. The chances of getting a top two were only 27.5%. So the chances were 72.5% that they wouldn't. The chances, the highest percent chance was that they would get fifth overall. The second highest chance, percent chance, was that they would get sixth overall. If you didn't know that, I'm just sharing that with you. The way it works, basically, is that there are 1,004 ping pong ball combinations, and they weight it for the teams with the worst records, but they don't weight it the way they used to. In 2019, to avoid tanking at the end of the season, they gave the three worst teams in the league equal chances of getting number one overall. And they gave them 140 combinations out of 1,000, or 14%. So Utah and Charlotte and Washington each had a 14% chance to get number one overall. And then you keep going down the list until you get to the last team in the field, and that was five combinations overall, or a 0.5% chance. Five combinations of four ping pong balls out of 1,000 combinations. There is, and I read a lot about this late last night, there is one combination that they actually rule out. So there are four balls numbered 1 through 14. They draw four balls, and so there's a four-number combination. But to get it to 1,000, because there are actually 1,001 possible combinations with four balls numbered 1 through 14, you can do your factorial, your statistical factorial exercise to come up with it. But I'll just take my word, there are 1,001 possible combinations in any order. By the way, any order, it's just like a lottery. It doesn't matter what order they're pulled in. And they exclude the following combination, 11, 12, 13, 14. So if 11, 12, 13, 14 get pulled up, that gets excluded so that they can get down to 1,000 to make the percents cleaner. And the top three have a 14% chance. They're assigned 140 of the 1,000 possible winning combinations. But again, that means there's an 86% chance they're not getting number one overall. And in the Wizards' case, they had the second seed or the second worst record. They had a 14% chance of getting the number one pick, a 13.42% chance of getting the second, a 12.75% of getting the third, and an 11.97% of getting the fourth. They only pull for the first four picks, and then after that, 5 through 14 are based on the remaining teams that didn't land in the top four in the lottery based on record. And that's why Bub Carrington's shot in the season finale against Miami cost the Wizards the worst record, which would have meant the worst case would have been the fifth pick. The worst case going in was sixth, and they got sixth. And there was a 1 in 5 chance of getting sixth, and there was a 47.86% chance that that they would get 5 or 6. Everything else was lower odds. It still stinks. It stinks because there was, you know, there's always a chance, and you're playing and losing all these games, and you're going to end up with multiple teams in front of you with much better records, including the Dallas Mavericks. And I think an underrated part of the story last night was San Antonio got the number two pick. But my thing here is, it's actually people, just so you know. I mean, I guess there's a possibility they're committing fraud and risking going to prison. But if you assume that there's not actually an intentional fraud taking place, I think what they need to fix is, I think the worst teams in the league, I think they need to change the weighting. I think that you can create a system that, you know, certainly incentivizes less tanking at the end of the season, but also give those top 2-3 teams a better chance of ending up with a top 2 or 3 pick. And I just think that there need to be more combinations out of the 1,000 pulled for the worst teams. And it should be weighted just differently and just increase the chances, increase the odds of the worst teams getting better picks. Because here's the situation over the last few years, since 2019. Okay, 2019, the Pelicans had a 6% chance. They won 33 games the first year of this. They got Zion Williamson. Minnesota got Anthony Edwards. They were one of the worst teams. They were the third worst. And then 2021, the second worst team got the top pick. Detroit got Cade Cunningham. Orlando was the second worst. They got Banchero. The Spurs were the second worst. They got Wembanyama. But the last 2 years, the Hawks were the ninth worst team. They got number one overall. You know, Risache last year, number one. And the Mavericks were the 11th worst out of the 14 teams. They had a 1.8% chance, and they're going to get Cooper Flagg. And the Wizards, I don't know. Derek Queen's a possibility. We'll have plenty of time to preview the NBA draft. Caps got beat last night, and they deserved it. More on that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Carolina was dominant in these two games down here. 13, all that's left on the clock now as Costas Bear comes to center. He's just going to double back in his zone. Call off the dogs and let the crowd do their thing. Carolina pulls away at the end and picks up a 5-2 victory here in game four to push Washington to the brink in this second round Stanley Cup playoff matchup.
John Walton, final call last night in Raleigh. The Caps now down to 3-1 and on the brink of elimination. It's interesting. I didn't feel like they were dominated in game three. John said dominated in both games down here in Raleigh. I really felt like they played well in game three, and it was actually their most complete game, and yet they lost 4-0. Last night, though, felt more like game one. But the score was more reflective of it. Now, the Caps on a power play goal, actually a two-man advantage, got an Ovechkin goal to make it 3-2 in the third period. But I thought not Logan Thompson's best night, Max. Certainly not his best night. We talked about the goal that he gave up in game three. He's given up a couple of bad goals, right? Is that fair or not?
A few here and there, but like it's also going to happen. The other thing, the Caps' defense last night kind of was hanging him out to dry. It just felt like they weren't on it like they were in games two or three. It was like you said, it was very reflective of game one where they just kind of looked lackadaisical on the back foot. The effort just didn't seem to be there from a lot of guys. And it was a really frustrating watch from a fan perspective.
Yeah. I mean, for me, not knowing this sport like you do and many others who are listening, I mean, I've certainly watched intently and I enjoy it. There were a couple of things last night. Number one, it really once again looked like ice time tilted, dominated.
Very much.
Carolina just, you know, out-hustling, out-quicking, out-stick handling, out, you know, puck handling, however you describe that, all mm-hmm. night long. 5-on-5, it just seemed like the Caps never had much of a chance. Their power play hasn't been good at all.
It's embarrassing.
It's really hard for them to even get into the offensive zone and set something up. They needed 5-on-3 to score last night. What has saved them, certainly saved them in game one, even though they lost game one, was Logan Thompson. And I thought that Jarvis goal last night, that's a goal that you can't allow. Mm-hmm. Things change in hockey. We understand that. You know, the Caps played horribly and nearly won game one. They played better in game three and got blown out. Game two was their best effort overall, certainly for two periods, because they weren't great in the first period. Mm-hmm. And last night felt more like the kind of one-sided beatdown that they took in game one, with the score more reflecting it. Can it change? You tell me if it can change. If somebody didn't know anything about these two teams and watched the first four games, you would not say that Carolina is fortunate to be up 3-1.
No.
You would say the better team, the clear better team, is up 3-1. And therefore, the conclusion would be they can win and probably will win one of the final three. That's the way it feels to me now. I guess Logan Thompson can always do the, you know, proverbial standing on his head for three straight games, but they got to be better on five on five, and they just got to be better on the power play. I mean, it, requiring 5-on-3 to score in the power play is not good. And just seems like when they have a normal power play, they can't generate anything off of it.
Yeah, entries have been tough. It's kind of been a thing all playoffs. It's really, really frustrating. Again, like I said, from a fan perspective, but the thing about the Caps is, like, they've been coming back. They have, I think, 20. They flashed a graphic on the screen last night. They have like 20 plus comeback wins, which is leads the league. So they've been doing it all year, but the consistency is just, Carolina is like overall just more consistent with their game, their game plan. Like, they seem a lot more prepared than the Caps. At this point in the playoffs, keeping up with that speed for a consistent, like, the entirety of a playoff series is so hard for a team like the Caps, because they're a little bit bigger, a little bit slower. So you need to be on them the entire time. And if they can, you know, get a little bit of separation, then you're boned. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought some of the hitting last night, like, there was an attempt and there was some urgency, especially early in that game. But ultimately, Carolina 5-2. They got they got an empty netter there at the end. After that, Sean Walker goal, which was just another one where, probably to your point, it was more about the Caps defense after the Caps had drawn to within 3-2. And I kept thinking, look, they're not the better team tonight. They haven't been the better team in the series, but here they are again, one shot away from tying this thing up. And can you imagine, I kept thinking last night watching the game, can you imagine if the Caps actually somehow tied this up at 3 and won in overtime 4-3, a game that they didn't really deserve to win? That's hockey in the postseason, but they're in trouble now, down 3-1 in this series. And Game 5 tomorrow night at Capital One. By the way, at the same time, the schedule will be breaking. What do you think will get the higher ratings tomorrow night?
NFL or NHL?
Wait a minute. Do the Caps play tomorrow night or do they play Thursday night?
I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow.
It's Thursday night.
Okay, I was going to say.
Game 5 is Thursday night. They get a day. It's not a two-day thing here.
Yeah, because they did this in the Montreal series, too. When you hit three games going back, you get an extra day.
Yeah, so big game tonight. I know, like, I'm sort of rooting for Toronto on the other side of the East just to get to a point in which their fans can really be fired up for something. But Florida came back and evened up that series at home at 2-2. Paying attention to hockey. Alan May is going to join us at 11:35. When we come back, last night's NBA playoff doubleheader included a devastating injury more likely, and a disappearance. I'll explain on both when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews,
all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jaylen Brown back in, lost the ball. Anunoby all by himself throws it down. And Tatum is hurt. Tatum is down. He wants a timeout. Tatum in so much pain. And the Celtics call timeout, grabbing that right ankle. And that's the final timeout for the Boston Celtics. But more importantly, Tatum really shaken up.
Mike Breen last night. That's the number one crew. Breen's the best. Doris Burke, Richard Jefferson, part of the number one crew. We may have to do a segment on that at some point when we get into the NBA Finals. Jason Tatum looked like he tore his Achilles. I have no idea, but it was one of those where you saw the replay. He didn't roll the ankle, and it was non-contact, and there was pain, and he needed a wheelchair to get off the floor, to get out of the arena. That would be devastating. Clearly, Tatum was having himself a fourth quarter in a second half. He had made 7 threes. He had 42 points in that moment. The Knicks pulled away. They won the game 121-113. They now have a 3-1 series lead over the Celtics going back to Boston for game 5. I'll just say this. I would not put it past Boston to make a run back into this series. They are deep. Now, Tatum, you know, Jaylen Brown was the MVP of the NBA Finals last year. Let's not forget that. He was also the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals. Pretty sure that's true. And he did not play well last night. Jaylen Brown did not play well at all last night. He's capable of stepping up in a big way. They've got players that, you know, they can compete against the Knicks with. But Jason Tatum obviously is a massive loss and puts the Knicks in position to now be the favorite to win this series, assuming he's out. By the way, if it is Achilles, that's well into next season, more likely than not. I don't know if there's a better environment in terms of arenas. Forget stadiums for a moment. In terms of arenas and just pure electricity, pure loud raucous, like the Garden for a game like last night. Now, they never had a chance on Saturday to get into it because Boston took them out of it from the beginning. And Boston, by the way, was up 11 at the end of the first quarter. They were up 11 at the end of the first half. But my God, when the Knicks roared back and took the lead in the third quarter, that place was insane. That is, for a sports fan, I'm telling you, that should be on the bucket list. A big time, not a first rounder, but a game like last night or Saturday in the Garden, Knicks with a legitimate chance to make a run in the postseason. They won that game. We'll see what happens. Brunson, big shot after big shot, ended up with 39. I thought Mikal Bridges was outstanding. I thought Karl Anthony Towns was solid. And I think OG Anunoby is one of the real, you know, sleepers of stars in the postseason right now. The second game, we'll see. Max will have an update in one of his what's trendings if there is news on Jason Tatum. But I think most people are expecting the worst. An MRI was scheduled for sometime, I think, this morning. Then came last night's game. And I was able to really watch this start to finish because the Caps game was over. The lottery at that point was a distant, horrible memory. Jimmy Butler's been one of my favorite players in sports over the last, I don't know, 7-8 years. Playoff Jimmy. He has risen to the occasion time in and time out in the postseason. He's had just some epic moments of essentially taking pretty bad Miami teams well deep in beyond expectation into the postseason. He took that team back in 23 to the NBA Finals against Denver. That's where he literally started off in the conference semifinals after in the conference semifinals against Milwaukee, where in games five and six, he went for 56 and 42 in back-to-back games. He averaged in that series when they took out Giannis and Milwaukee in five games, he averaged 37.6 points per game. Then they took out the Knicks in five. He averaged 25 a game. Then they took out the Celtics in seven. And in the seventh and deciding game in Boston, he played 43 minutes, had 28.7 rebounds, six assists, three steals in the game. Then there was a weird moment in the NBA Finals that year against Denver. He didn't show for like two of the games. Like he looked off. And I remember talking about it on the show. I'm like, what happened to him? Is he hurt? Well, what's going on? Last night with no Steph Curry and basically the season on the line, because they had to beat Minnesota last night at home to get the series even to two in hopes that Steph could be back by game six. That's the hope. He's not going to be ready for game five tomorrow night. If they could get it to 2-2, lose game five, and Steph could come back for game six, maybe they could go to a game seven having Steph Curry back. So for that to happen, Jimmy Butler, everybody knew it. He's going to have to shoot 25 times. He's going to have to get 40-plus. Jimmy Butler shot 9 times in the game. He passed on no less than 5 shots right at the rim. He also missed 2 point-blank layups. He looked completely out of it, disinterested, as if he wasn't really a participant. The team was much better with him off the floor than it was with him on the floor. His plus-minus in the game was minus 30. He ended up with 14 points on 9 shot attempts. 9. He didn't make up for it with double-digit free throw attempts. He was 4-for-5 from the free throw line. Tim Legler was calling the game. Legler should be the number one analyst, period. I've said that before. Trust me, I've listened to everybody now. He should be number one with Mike Breen. That should be the top team for the NBA Finals. It's not going to be, but it should be. And I'm listening to Legler go, Jimmy Butler's got to be a little bit more aggressive. I don't know why he's passing on some of these shots. He's driving to the rim and then turning and looking to kick out every time, passing on short jumpers and kicking out to the likes of, no offense, to the likes of Draymond Green to shoot threes. Draymond shot 6 threes last night in the game. Jimmy Butler shot 1. That should never happen. I don't know what it is. Something's not right. He's a weird dude. I understand that. There's something different about Jimmy Butler. I don't have any problem with him being different. I wonder if there is something going on there mentally at times. You know, maybe he had a case of the yips last night, felt it, and some nights he doesn't feel it, some nights he does. Maybe he just doesn't like being the focal point, but that can't be right because he's gone for 40 and 50 plus when he's been the focal point in playoff games. It was weird. It was a strange, mysterious performance. If you didn't know any better, and I would not chalk it up to this, but you'd be suspicious in watching it. You'd be suspicious. Like, what's he doing? They don't have Steph Curry. They don't have anybody other than maybe Buddy Hield who can kind of go off. They need him to get 30 minimum to have a chance. They need him to be aggressive offensively. And he was the most passive player on the court by far. He was passive defensively too, which is usually not the case. Now, they played a lot of zone. Doesn't mean you have to be passive in zone. Weird performance. One of the strangest games by a perceived superstar player, especially in the postseason, playoff Jimmy, that I think I've ever witnessed. There's no explanation afterwards that he was sick or hurt. He may have been tired. Okay, he played a lot of minutes the other night, scored 33, didn't score in the final 8 minutes of game three. I think it's interesting to kind of, you know, I'd love to see somebody do some reporting on what was going on with him. Something was going on with him last night. It was not normal. Not normal. Pleading. I mean, you're talking about fans, broadcasters, people are pleading for him to join the game, to become a participant in the game. But with him on the floor, at times it felt like it was 4-on-5. That's Jimmy Butler we're talking about. Weird, mysterious, suspicious performance by him. Meantime, our team was drawing the sixth pole in the draft. Alan May is going to join us at 11:35. Chase Hughes will jump on with us at 12. We've got some football to talk about. Trey Hendrickson speaking out yesterday. We'll tell you what he said and what that means for teams that might still be interested when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.